Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Berger, speaker. Today we will continue in our new series of studies, which we have entitled The Precious Promises of God. And we have chosen for our theme verse for this series 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Here it is. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, of course, ye might be made partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now notice, please, in this theme verse, that by these promises, ye might be made partakers of the divine nature. This infers the new birth. We are made partakers of the divine nature. We need to be born into God's family. We were born into this family as sinners. But we need to be born into God's family where there is no sin. The new birth is absolutely necessary, and this anticipates that by these promises ye might be partakers of the divine nature. And we wish to consider a study today that is very dear to me, the promise of rest as given by our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 11 and verse 28. Here it is. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. And that's a promise, one of the 8,800 promises of the Bible, and the Lord never went back on one of his promises. Then he adds, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I like to put Matthew 11 and 28 in its setting. Our Lord is in the presence of those who have rejected him. And he says in the audience of these people, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, cities, of course, in Palestine. For if the mighty works which had been done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And then he adds, woe, and thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven. Capernaum was his adopted city. Thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. And then our Lord, in the presence of these people, speaks in their presence, and he says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. And then he makes this startling, wonderful statement, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I may add, if anybody else had made this statement, it would have been arrogance supreme. Could I make this statement? Could I announce over this broadcast, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest? I wouldn't think of it. I can't even solve my own problems. I have to go to the Lord. How could I solve yours? I might help solve yours. But the Lord is the final solution in the matter of our problems. And today, I want to speak about rest from the burden of sin, and then rest from the burden of circumstances. Let's consider rest from the burden of sin first. I think of the story of Pilgrim's Progress. Many of you listening today have read that immortal allegory of John Bunyan, which is really his own personal experience put in allegorical form. He lived in the city of destruction, and he was given a little book, and he read in that book, and the strangest thing happened. That little book, which represented the Bible, added a burden to his back, and it was bound inextricably to him by thongs, and he could not release that burden. And the more he read the little book, the heavier the burden got. It was the burden of his sin. It was the consciousness of his sins that was burdening him down, and he couldn't get rid of it. He met a man by the name of Evangelist who told him how he could get rid of it. Well, he goes through the Slough of Despond, by the hill, Mount Sinai. The law couldn't do him any good. He goes on, and he goes through many experiences, too numerous to mention on the broadcast, and he comes to the hill of Calvary. And he looks up that hill, and he sees that cross just above him. And the strangest thing happens. When he looks at the cross, the thongs snap, and the burden rolls off of his back and rolls down the hill into an empty tomb. The burden of his sins were gone. The burden of his sin was gone when he realized that Christ had borne them already. Christ had borne the burden of his sins. Why should he bear them any longer? Christ had died for him. He trusted, and his soul was filled with ecstasy. He received rest in his soul. Now, we must not give a false impression here that rest from the burden of our sins constitutes rest in all the circumstances of life. And that's why we wish to take up rest from the burdens of circumstance as a part of this study. Because the Christian life is no bed of roses. Believe me, the Christian finds out that the moment that he trusts Christ, the moment that he's saved, the moment that he's born again, born into God's family, he has a threefold enemy that will increase and multiply those adverse circumstances and make it just as miserable for the Christian as he can. But there's a recourse. The recourse is the same Lord that lifted the burden of our sins. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Lord wants to do that. We cannot release ourselves from our burdens, but he can, and nobody else can. The Apostle Paul, who was a burdened man, writes from experience, but he writes as inspired by the Holy Spirit in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. We read there, "Be careful for nothing." Of course, that doesn't mean carelessness. It means be full of care over nothing. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And that is a promise. You bring your burdens to the Lord. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, don't leave a thing out, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And he, by reason of that, will give us the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. There is such a relief in getting rid of your burdens. We even tell our troubles and our trials to our confidants, our best friends, to husband and wife, and to friends, and perhaps even children. We tell them our burdens, and it is helpful to get rid of the burdens. This, is, in a sense, the psychiatrist's couch. Now, I would not malign the professional abilities of psychiatrists and psychologists at all. They can help us if led by the Lord. They can give us help and relief. But the Lord is the one who can say, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There is much relief. We might speak of the therapeutical value of a mental catharsis. What a sentence that is. It's just getting it off your chest. But when we, the psychiatrist, and I have all respect, and I'm not speaking in a disrespectful way, but they are human, and they cannot possibly anticipate all the circumstances that is back of our troubles. But there is one who can. The Lord Jesus Christ knows all about it, and it's wonderful to take your troubles to somebody that can do something about them. The psychiatrist may give you advice, but he may not be able to implement that advice. The Lord can. He can lift the load. He can change the circumstances. He can strengthen you through the scriptures. And that's his business. He is in the world. He is on the throne of God today while we are in the world. He was in the world. I think I should read that portion of scripture. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Here we are told in the book of Hebrews, the Lord has been along this way ahead of us. He knows the trials. He knows the weariness, sin apart. He knows it all, and he can sympathize with us. I tried to sympathize with a man once who'd lost his wife. And I tried my best. My intentions were the best. And he stopped me and he says, Ken, he says, you can't sympathize with me. You have not gone through the experience. Well, I had no more to say. I could pray for the dear man, but he was so right. I have heard many people say, you never know until you experience it. But here is one that has experienced all the trials of this life, and he is available. Yea, we are encouraged. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. That admonition, let us, is an infectious term. Let's come to the throne of grace, that we may find grace, and that we may obtain mercy, rather, and find grace in time of need. Perhaps my listener has had the experience that I have had, being burdened down with circumstances that you cannot solve. You cannot cope with them. You come into the presence of the Lord, and you just bare your heart. You just lay it all out before him. And tell him that you need help. And then when you realize that you've talked to the one that can do something about it, there comes a great relief over your soul. I've experienced it. And I've got up off my knees and I said, why didn't you do that before? Why didn't you unload and unburden to the Lord Jesus, the one who could say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, and it's a promise. Bring your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Don't carry them out. He needs to know. He wants to hear from us. He doesn't need to know. He knows all our circumstances. Don't misunderstand me. But he wants us to realize that he knows and that he cares and that he can do something about it. Our Father, today we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, help us to realize what the Lord can do for us and help us to claim these precious promises. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.